You wanted it, you got it. Let's do season two of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. Just having some fun here with a format that has grown more and more popular over the years that some actively participate in like me, others do not. But basically, we look at every week's games. We incorporate the lines just to give us an idea of who might be the most likely to win that particular week. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is an exclusive presentation of Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of what I do. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson, simply here to tell you that if you reside in the state of Florida and you are paying a former spouse or partner permanent alimony by law, since July 1st, 2023, permanent alimony is no longer law in the state of Florida. So for 14 months, you have been making payments that could be reduced or eliminated altogether. To stop doing that, contact Brandon Legal Group for a free consult on how to stop paying permanent alimony, which is no longer the law in the state of Florida. BrandonLegalGroup.com for the free consult, or if you choose to call to set it up, you may do that as well, 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and they remind you to stop paying permanent alimony. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Let's jump right in, shall we, and take a look at week one games. With the benefit of some updated numbers, we're doing this pretty early this week, but I got a lot going on. It's the first week of the season. There's a Thursday game. There's a Friday game. Then all the Sunday games. Then the one Monday night game. Basically, the whole idea of Survivor Football Leagues is to pick one winner each week or you're out. We can get into the whole multiple entries, whatever, but that's the premise. Every week, just find one winner, and once you play that team, you can't use them again. There is no rule against you picking against someone multiple weeks. I've always been intrigued if there would be a reverse type of Survivor League where you can only pick a team to lose once, and then you cannot pick them again. But we got a lot to talk about. I don't want to make this first podcast too long. Also, I'm not looking ahead to Thanksgiving, Black Friday, or Christmas. I know that's what Circa does. Later in the year, we'll talk about what Circa does. But that's only a small percentage of my audience. It's a percentage that I certainly respect. It's a lot of fun when it gets to that point. But I'm not going to be holding teams back because of Circa rules, because the league I play in does not use those rules. We go simply by week. There are 18 weeks, and if you can pick a winner each of the 18, you will win the league. Either share it or maybe not even need to go all 18 weeks if others fall by the wayside. So let's just run down the games and talk about the numbers and do some first impressions. So let's start with, I am on VegasInsider.com. I'll often quote them in this podcast because I like what they do. They have updated information. We are recording this on Tuesday afternoon, just a little before 4 p.m. Eastern time. I'm sorry, a little before 3 p.m. Eastern time. So if there is something in here that's dated, be respectful that it might be newsworthy after the fact that this was either put together or posted. And a shout out to Patrick Everson, who's very active on Twitter X, and we will mention him a lot in these segments from VegasInsider.com. Ravens at Chiefs opened at 3. It sits there at 3. Based on most of what I see on VegasInsider.com, so not a lot of movement there. Some places it may have opened at 2.5 or gone to 2.5, but that's been pretty steady for the Thursday night opener, Baltimore at Kansas City. The Friday night battle in Brazil, Green Bay at Philadelphia, opened at 1.5 for the Eagles. Movement towards Philadelphia, I see 2.5 and 3. So definitely some action moving that number, which favors a thought on Philadelphia in that particular game. I did love Nick Sirianni dancing around whether or not his players were invested in making the trip to Brazil and excited about opening the season so far from home. Nice try, Nick. Clearly, your guys don't want to make the business trip. Could be a factor there. Who knows? I will just enjoy the Friday night entertainment. Then we get to Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Jaguars at Dolphins. Game opened with Miami laying 3.5. It's gone down a bit at the time of our broadcast. Looks like a lot of threes there. So some modest action on the Jags, but not a lot. Some modest action on the Jags, because it's lowered the number to 3. I'm out of practice. It's been months. Sorry. I've had a lot going on. So Miami opened as 3.5-point favorite. We see it at 3 at the time of our podcast. Steelers at Falcons. We think we know who's going to play quarterback for Pittsburgh. At the time of this broadcast, do we think we know who's going to take all the snaps for Atlanta? This is a fun one. Gil Alexander's even made reference to this one on his show on VEASAN on a numbers line. Opened his Falcons as a 2.5-point favorite. Looks like they've moved a little bit toward the 3. Not much else there. Minnesota at the Giants. Won't be a lot of people by choice who aren't fans of either of these teams watching this game. Now, I do have skin in the game as a Justin Jefferson fantasy owner. For more on that, you can listen separately to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. But Vikings opened as a 1-point underdog. They are now a 1-to-2-point favorite. So this game has gone through the number and back out the other side. And you have a road team favored in this game off the bad highlights, if you can call them even highlights, from Daniel Jones in some preseason games. So Minnesota has become a favorite in this football game since the game opened -1 for the Giants. Panthers and Saints. Gil calls this a very dangerous week 1 survivor game that will likely be played by a number of people because they want to go against Carolina with a first-year head coach and the first game of season 2 of the Bryce Young era, and year 1 wasn't very good. So Saints opened at 4.5. It's actually gone down. I see it at 4 or 3.5. So there has been some action on Carolina in this game. The shops were really confused on what to do with New Orleans last offseason. There were numbers that screamed they liked the Saints, and then there were others that conflicted with that. Saints kind of finished the year right around 500. I don't make much of them. Dennis Allen is the short shot to be first coach fired. The Saints schedule, if they don't win this one, I don't know when they win. And the less they win the first month and a half, the worse it will be on a Thursday night when Sean Payton, with a rookie quarterback, brings the Broncos into New Orleans. And if Peyton wins that game with a rookie quarterback, that could be the end of Dennis Allen. But anyway, Carolina has actually gotten some play since this game opened to lower the number down to 4 or 3.5. Saints still favored, though. Patriots, Bengals. This will be the most popular play in Survivor Leagues by a pretty good percentage. Bengals opened as an 8.5-point choice. It is 8.5, 9, or 9.5 at the time of the podcast. Patriots starting Jacoby Brissett over Drake May. What else do they have? First time ever head coach Jared Mayo. Bengals, at the time of this, might be without Ja'Marr Chase, but still have Joe Burrow, a head coach who went to the Super Bowl, one of the top defensive coordinators in the NFL, T. Higgins in a contract year. We'll see how the running back position plays out with Moss and Brown. But yeah, Burrow versus Brissett, Super Bowl head coach versus first game ever coach who was head coach in waiting and none of us knew it. More on that in a second. Titans, Bears. This should get some attention. Number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. Bears loaded up the offensive side of the ball in the offseason with some free agent signings and some high draft picks. That said, Bears opened as 4.5-point choice. The action has been on Tennessee and driven the line down in some places to 4 or 3.5. First year head coach with an offensive background in Brian Callahan, who comes via Cincinnati from Zach Taylor's staff with Will Levis going into year two. Cardinals at Bills. Cardinals making the long cross-country road trip to play a very early game in their heads at Buffalo, which continues to win AFC East in succession. Bills opened as a 7-point choice. It's been knocked down to 6 or even 5.5 in some places for those that felt getting a touchdown in Arizona, even on the road in this spot, was worthwhile. So now you're not getting that, but Buffalo still second largest favorite of week one behind the Bengals for the games that we have currently covered. Texans at Colts. Battle of 2 second-year quarterbacks, 2 second-year head coaches. Texans opened as a 1.5-point favorite at Indianapolis. Since then, it has grown to 2.5 most places that I see. So the money has been on Houston despite them playing on the road. A lot of people like Houston after what they accomplished last year, and why not? Las Vegas at LA against the Chargers. This game opened with the Chargers as a 3.5-point choice. It has gone down modestly to 3 with Raiders promoting their interim head coach, going with Gardner Minshew. Chargers, we will, I guess, find out how healthy Justin Herbert is. This is the first chapter of that story that may be going on throughout the season and just how much the Chargers will be running the ball under this new coaching staff, whether that's Evans or, I'm sorry, the bus, Gus Edwards, or J.K. Dobbins, and on from there. Seahawks opened as 4.5-point choice against the Broncos. This has gone up to 5.5 or 6 for Seattle with a first-year head coach, still with Geno Smith, still with DK Metcalf. Broncos, second year of Sean, second year of Sean Payton, Bo Nix, rookie starting quarterback. So the money has been on Seattle in this game. Seattle busted. See, this spot for Seattle, was it against the Rams last year? Hurt some people. I know the Buck game at the Vikings was sort of a week one landmine for some people last year as well. We are now in the late afternoon starts, obviously, with getting into games in Los Angeles and Seattle. The Buccaneers are actually a late afternoon start. Commanders at Buccaneers. So the debut of Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels there. Game opened at 4 for Tampa Bay, who has the longest stretch of consecutive playoff appearances in the NFC. But it's gone down. Bucks have gone from a 4-point favorite to a 3 or a 3.5-point favorite. So some modest movement there toward Washington in Jaden Daniels' debut. Buccaneers, about as consistent as you can be in terms of their players from one year to the next, with bringing back Baker Mayfield, bringing back Mike Evans, bringing back Lavonte David, new contracts for Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield. Not a lot new about the Buccaneers. New center in terms of the interior of the offensive line to hopefully for them boost the number 32 running attack in the National Football League. A lot is new in Washington. A lot is new, other than Terry McLaurin, who may or may not get a boost with having Jaden Daniels as quarterback. Cowboys opened a 1.5-point favorite months ago at Cleveland. This has also flipped. So two NFC East teams that opened as favorites are now underdogs based on perception, news, other factors. Cleveland has gone from opening as a 1.5-point home dog to a almost consensus 2.5-point favorite against the Dallas Cowboys. Rams at Lions, rematch of a first-round playoff game. I've already said to Gil, wouldn't surprise me at all. And this is the Sunday night game. The Lions get the traditional Cowboy Sunday night game spot week one. And the Lions also get the traditional first Thursday after Thanksgiving primetime spot that the Cowboys normally occupy. So the Lions got two national TV primetime windows that were almost automatic for the Dallas Cowboys. And the Lions have those spots this year. Lions opened as a 3-point favorite. It has bumped up to roughly 3.5. What I said to Gil and some others wouldn't surprise me at all. Sorry to offend you 49er fans or Eagle fans. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the winner of this Rams-Lions game hosts a Rams-Lions NFC Championship game. And the Monday night game, Jets traveling cross-country to the 49ers. The Niners opened as a 6.5-point choice. This is down to 4.5 some places, 4 in other places, 3.5 in other places, as the love fest that I don't understand for the New York Jets continues into their season opener against the defending NFC champions, still with a very live Super Bowl window open and Brandon Ayuk signed. So, one thing I'll bring up here, let me go to another page. Okay, everything's fine. One thing I'll bring up here is the last, I think, 3 to 4 years, because all we're talking about is who wins here. So all we're talking about is money lines, the spreads and how the spreads are moving sort of help us see what others perceive about these games. That helps. But all you got to do is pick a winner. In recent years, the highest percentage of winners comes from the AFC North. AFC North opponents against non-AFC North opponents win at a very high rate, 60% or higher in recent years. So in the case of Survivor, for those like me leaning Cincinnati here, it's not only because the Patriots don't look like much, but it's also that AFC North play where 60% plus of AFC North teams have won games against non-AFC North opponents in recent years. The opposite is true of AFC South teams. Now, we just have 1 year of data on the Texans, but for roughly the same sample size, if you were looking to pick against a team on a regular basis, you pick against AFC South teams because recent history says, you know, the Jaguars had a good year in 2022. The Texans had a good year in 2023. The Titans have been on a sort of a steady, slow slide under Mike Vrabel that got him fired. The Colts have rotated quarterbacks throughout this time, changed head coaches. But some of those wins for those teams have been propped up by division wins. When they get outside their division, AFC South teams against non-AFC South teams as a division have clicked the lowest win percentage of any division. So we'll bring this up every week. But as one of those tiebreakers, consider that in a week. Are you picking an AFC North team to win? Because that's probably a good way to go based on recent history. And or are you picking an AFC South team to lose? Because that's been a pretty good way to go, as long as it's not a division game. So in this case, the Bengals are not playing an AFC North opponent. They're playing a perceived bad AFC East opponent. And the line says they are the biggest favorite as of week one. Is it a landmine? Sure. Did we have a couple of those last year, very early in week one? Yes, we did. But that's your choice. There's a lot here that says the Bengals are the play, and they will be one of the highest plays of the week. Other AFC North teams, Pittsburgh is playing a non-AFC North opponent. Maybe that scares you off, Atlanta. It's something Gil and I texted about. Cleveland has gone from being a home underdog to a home favorite against the Cowboys. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Cleveland beat the Cowboys. This is coming from a Cowboy fan. I just think this is a lost season with dark clouds that have been building for some time on the Cowboys. And then there's Baltimore. Baltimore has the Thursday night game. Detroit performed well in that spot a year ago. So, and as far as AFC South teams, you do have one division game, so that wouldn't apply the AFC South losing stat to the Houston-Indianapolis game. You have Jacksonville going to Miami. We know how good Miami has been at the start of seasons, not good at the end of seasons under Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa. So you could go against Jacksonville there. And the other, let's see, is Tennessee, albeit new head coach, going to Chicago, where the Bears want to make a big splash and just might make a big splash in week one of the Caleb Williams era. So I would imagine there'll be a lot of play on Cincinnati. There will be a lot of play on Buffalo against Arizona. New Orleans will get some play against Carolina. I don't think the play on Atlanta-Pittsburgh will be significant. I don't think that'll be a top three game. Clearly, based on line movement, Seattle over Denver will be in the mix. And it just feels like people are going to stay away from playing San Francisco and Kansas City, two perceived very strong teams, because of the perception of their opponent being strong. Baltimore, which was good last year, lost the AFC title game to Kansas City, and the Jets, who weren't after Aaron Rodgers went down after four snaps. So there's what we see. I don't think there's any hidden. I'm sure there'll be a game here where somebody wins and you're like, wow, somebody won by 21 or more. Where was that? And it was on a game that had a three-point line or less. But a little early to try to spotlight that and blow it up. Maybe that happens. Where could that happen? Where could we have a surprise blowout winner? Maybe Vegas and LA, or maybe Minnesota and the Giants, where just one team is a lot better than we thought and ready to go, and the other team already looks like it's a lost season. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to week one of season two of the Todd Wright Survivor Football podcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group.